Blog Talk Radio.
In this crazy time that we live in, impending war, people driving cars into crowds, people just trying to hurt people, you know? There's one thing we definitely need more of, and that's love.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. I ask Abba that you forgive me for my sins that I commit knowingly and unknowingly, Abba. I ask that you give ear to my prayer. Thank you once again, Abba, first and foremost, for the breath of life. for allowing us to see another day, for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Thank you for this time that you have set apart for us. Abba, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for strengthening us to get through the week, Abba, giving us strength to overcome the wiles of the devil. Thank you for giving us the wisdom to overcome his tricks and his deceits and his doubts. Thank you for protecting us, leading us, and guiding us, Abba. Thank you for this festive year, festive time, Abba. Our brothers and our sisters down in Missouri looks to see that they had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time at Sukkot. Abba, we ask that you continue to lead us and guide us, continue to bring us together, continue to unify us, Abba, through your word, through your spirit. We ask, Abba, that you continue to heal us physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, Abba. We ask that you continue to keep your hands upon everyone who is needs that quote-unquote special prayer, Abba. Our Ema, our Zakins, everyone who is hurting and needs that little extra, Abba. Do it according to your good will, Abba. Abba, we ask that you continue to open up your word to us, that you give us exactly what we need, Abba, that you turn us into the men and the women, the sons and the daughters that you so desire. Abba, continue to just be with us and build with us, Abba. Correct us when we go to the right and to the left in your love and kindness and bringing us back onto your path, Abba. In Yahushua's name, give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother, David Well. In my last week for this rotation of Magnify the Torah and Make Honorable, I hope you had a great week, and if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. Time to lay your burdens down. That cannot be stressed enough. Cannot be overlooked. You know, Abba tells us, lay them burdens down and talk with me, fast with me, and have some alone time with me. All right? So today's lesson is called Israel, Stand Up. You know, and the thought that Abba gave was, we know how Israel became to, and we're going to read it today. When Jacob's name was changed to Israel, Abba says some very specific things about it, which didn't change over the years. This is what he was expecting of Jacob, and this is what he, when he buried that, took that name and buried it on his sons and daughters. The standard hasn't changed. question is, are we living up to that standard? Everybody who, are we living up to the expectation of the Most High? Everybody who's claiming Israel isn't doing Israel. You know, we had a brother, I was talking to my brother Mario, and we was talking about how some people claim Israel, and you see them working on the Shabbat. Some people claim Israel, and you see them eating pork, doing everything outside of those laws, statutes, and judgments. But yet you're Israel, or you claim to be Israel. Abba has an expectation for Israel. And we're just going to go through a couple scriptures today and see some of those expectations. All right. I hope I sound okay and everyone's hearing me. Excuse me. So Genesis chapter 32. Verses 24 to 28. And this is where our father, Yaakov, or Jacob, gets the blessing of Israel. See, people, that's another thing that we don't want to forget. Bearing the name Todaki, bearing the name of Israel is a blessing. It's a blessing. And we're going to read this story. So starting at verse 24, then we get the gist. Again, we've been through Torah a lot. And we know the setup for this. So Genesis or Bereshit, chapter 32, starting at verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You know, and so that can't be stressed enough. We're going to find out, because we all know the story. Jacob was wrestling. It says a man. We find out it's an angel. And our ancestor, Jacob, was going toe-to-toe with an angel. And believe me, y'all, because when we're going to look up this word wrestle. Now, this word wrestle, number in the Hebrew, number 79. Right? This word is abak, right? And it says it's a primitive root, probably float away as vapor, but it's used as the nominative, of Hebrew 80, says to be dust, that is grapple. So when it says it's wrestling, what they was doing, they was what we call, it was a little more than wrestling, even though they was grappling, going back and forth. With this word really is talking about is how much dust they was kicking up. This was a battle, y'all. He was going, when it says he was going toe to toe with an angelic being. He was handling his own. Our ancestor was. Jacob had the ability to go toe to toe with angelic beings. That's how tenacious he was. Because this word wrestle, when it's talking about wrestle, it's talking about literally kicking up dust. As they say, they wasn't just wrestling. They was, as old folks say, they was like the bulls in the china closet. They was moving some furniture, as they say. It wasn't like, they was slamming, and you slam this dude down, and the dust would rise up. And Jacob would get the advantage. He slammed the angel and the dust would rise up. Because the words say the angel couldn't prevail against him. Couldn't prevail against him so much he had to smack the house, knock his... As a person who has his joint feel like it's dislocated, that is mighty painful. Your movement is limited I'm just bone on bone arthritis. His hip was dislocated. Nevertheless, he was still kicking up dust with this angel as he's going. And see the tenacity of Jacob. And because of his tenacity, let's read, he gets rewarded. Verse 25 again, it says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Look, man, we've been at it for a while. We got to call this a draw. Nah, there ain't no draw. I ain't letting you go until you bless me. So Jacob understood who he was wrestling against, who he was going against. Because it says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man. How do you know this man had the ability to bless him? How do you know that? Well, he says, and he said, let me go for the daybreaker. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Yisrael. And here's the criteria. Why is your name called Yisrael? For as a prince have you power with Elohim and with men and have prevailed. So us bearing this name of Israel gives us power with the mighty ones and with men, and we are able to prevail. That's the blessing of being Yisrael, the ability to overcome. Because as our grandfather Jacob, grandfather, he's way older than our grandfather. But as our ancestor Jacob, our father Jacob, all right, didn't let go. Mm-mm. He held on to the, no matter what the pain, no matter what the cost. He held on. And because that name and that blessing transferred over from one man to a nation, is that some of the criteria for us? Are we supposed to hold on till the blessing comes? Do we have the ability to prevail with men and in the mighty ones? Because sometimes, a lot of times, we want to throw in the towel. But that's not the trait of our grandfather, of our father Jacob. That's not, and I keep on saying grandfather because I was looking at Ruth and David and all that earlier, and you know, I was, it's stuck in my head. It's that's all. I'll do better, y'all. Forgive me. But that's not the trait of Jacob. To give up. To stop. No, the trait of Jacob is to see this through. And that's the blessing. Right? So, and you know, that's just one characteristic. We're able to prevail. We're able to go toe-to-toe with submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. We're able to go toe-to-toe with these demonic forces. We have that ability. We have that ability to prevail against whatever the adversary throws against us, given to us by our ancestor Jacob through Yahushua HaMashiach. But this is one of the things that when Abba picked Abraham, yeah, Isaac, now Jacob, okay, and each one of these men were different in their own way. Each one was different in their own way. Each one stands out a little bit different than the other. So as Israel, we have to be mindful of that, right? That we have that ability. We're going to go to next chapter over, Bereshit or Genesis chapter 33. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. 1 through 11. Excuse me. Bereshit 33, verse 1. And it reads, "And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck, and they wept." So if y'all remember the story, just a backtrack. This was the first time Esau saw Jacob since the death of their father. The death of their father came, and Esau said, "But after the time of mourning, I'm going to kill Jacob for all that he took from me. He took my birthright. He took my blessing. Isn't he named Jacob? His name suits him. The word Jacob means supplanter, or Yaakov means to supplant. So, Esau being the firstborn, it was his birthright. He gave it up. Then the whole thing went down with the blessing that Rachel put together. Rachel put together the scheme of the blessing to get the blessing. And he got the blessing. So ever since all that went down, Jacob didn't see Esau. They didn't see one another because Rachel sent them away to go live with their uncle, with their uncle Laban. He gets the kids and all that stuff, gets married and all that, gets kids and all this stuff happens. And it's the first time that Esau is seeing Jacob. Jacob is scared because the last time he saw him, you know, and rightfully so, the last time a person see you, I'm going to kill you. Yeah, you're going to be scared rolling up on him. Him and 400 men to meet you. But what happened? He said, he kissed them, hugged them, and they cried. They cried together. Esau was happy to see his brother. He says, verse 5, and he lifted up his eyes, he being Esau, he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which Elohim has graciously given your servant. Then the handmaids came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, and think about it. This is the first time he's so happy to see Jacob. Now he know he got 12 nephews. He got 12 nephews and a niece. I got family, y'all. Y'all see my nephews? Look at my nephew, Judah. Look at him. He's a big, strong boy. Look at him. It's Simeon. Look at him. He was happy to see his nephews. He was happy to see his brother. He says, and he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my master. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that which thou hast to himself. Verse 10. And Jacob said, listen, nay, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of Elohim, and you was pleased with me. Remember what Israel means. You have power with the mighty ones and men. And prevail. He just prevailed against his brother. He said, you're pleased with me. All that hostility, all that evil talk and everything, out the window now. He got love for his brother. He got love for his family. Why? Because that is the blessing of the Most High. That is the blessing of Israel. We are able to win people if we want to win. But what do you see out here in these people who are calling themselves Israel? You see division. Don't even want to speak to you. Look at you, give you the craziest looks. They're not trying to win no souls. They don't even want to talk the word. Like my brother said, and he's not the only one that experienced that. You got the good day. We are the only true church, and this, that, and all that foolishness. Quick to point out everything. Nah, brother, you that's wrong, and this wrong. You got a bald head. You a sinner. You got this, that, that. You that. And, I mean, every little thing. The word says, tell them about four things when they first come in. Adultery, strangle the food. I mean, yeah, eating of strangled animals, eating blood, and fornication. Those four things. You hitting them with everything under the sun. That's not what the words say, dude. You hitting them with bald heads and all kinds of stuff that they don't have a comprehension of. You win those souls with milk. You got to give them the milk first before you give them the strong meat. Again, it says, verse 10 again, and Jacob said, excuse me, family, and Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. But therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of Elohim, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because Elohim has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. So, one thing that he said to Abraham, he said, as far as blessing, I got you, Abraham. You going to be a blessing to everybody. You are. Well, that passed down to Jacob, because Jacob, take my blessing. Now, he was talking about the camels and all that stuff when you look at it physically. But what is the blessing that Israel has to offer the world? What is the blessing that Israel has to offer the people? Is it not the word of the Most High? We're supposed to be blessing people with their word, not beating them up. The word is not, it's, okay, it is described as a two-edged sword. So it is a weapon, right? But let's not get it twisted. We're not here to cut people down with it. We want to cut those demonic forces down with it. But the way that people use the word is offensive, and it kills people's spirits. And I'm talking about people who proclaim to be Israelites. You're supposed to be bringing people to an understanding of the word. That's what you're supposed to be doing as Israel. You're supposed to be bringing people to see. We're going to read a little bit later. This word is our wisdom and our understanding. To the nations, the word say. Let's go to that now. Devarim, chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. You want to skip a couple of them. Devarim, chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, since we, talked about this, right? Now I got to remember I said this. Devarim, or Deuteronomy, chapter 4, starting at verse 5, it says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh your mighty one commanded me. Oh, excuse me. It says, my mighty one commanded me that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep guard, hedge up. Another duty of Israel. Guard those statutes. Guard those commandments. Hedge them up. Right? Nobody's supposed to be taking these away from us. Keep, therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation. But the way the people use the word is not wrong. It's not right. Excuse me. They're using it as a slaughtering weapon, and they're slaughtering people's souls, turning them away from the Most High. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be bringing wisdom and insight to this word. When we read in the New Testament about the eunuch of Candace, who had the scroll of Isaiah. And one of the apostles, I can't remember which one, approached him. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I understand it? Not me. I need somebody to show me and tell me exactly what's going on. This. What did he do? He didn't bash him upside the head. Man, give me that scroll. You don't know what you're doing with that scroll. Let me tell you. You Ethiopian eunuch, you. He didn't say nothing that, no. He explained the words of Isaiah to this man, so much so that when it came to be baptized, the man said, hey, it's some water right there. Let's get it done right now. That's what that eunuch said. He didn't turn men away from the Most High. He brought them to him. But what do you have Israel out here doing? Read. See, sister, you are, and pardon my language, you whore, you this, that, and other, because that's what they say to these people, and they turn them away from the Most High. And forgive me for saying pardon my language, that's something else I need to stop saying. That is a word that is within the Bible that the word uses. Whether you say harlot, whether you say whore, Abba needs this word to be real to us. That's why he uses such hard words and harsh words. Not trying to be vulgar. We're not using it in a vulgar way. All right? But forgive me, but he needs... Told I his brother Philip that did the baptize, that did the explaining. But Abba needs this word to be real to us, and we're not being vulgar or anything of that nature. And if I offend somebody, forgive me, please, because we don't want to be a stumbling block either. It's a real fine line that we have to walk when you're teaching. It's a real fine line because we have romanticized this word so long that doing something different or saying different things is now, it's frowned upon. And this is a time of censorship. See, because even over the internet, they say, you know, and when I say censorship, I mean it is a controlled censorship. See, because you can't say rape. They say grape. Right? They'll say that. right? But then at the same time, they'll show you all this gay sex on TV with men rubbing, kissing on men and women rubbing, kissing on women and all that stuff. So it's a controlled censorship. It's controlled. They want to censor some things, but not other things. But either way, it says, verse 6 again, he says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear, see, when the nations hear, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. When we do what Torah says, when we live up to the expectations of Israel, of Yisrael, we are able to prevail. We're not going to be looked, nobody's looking down on that great nation. Surely this is a wise and great nation. This is what they're going to say about us when we live up to the expectations of Yisrael. Numbers chapter 12. Verses 6-8. Sorry about that, family. We just had to go there because, you know, we spoke about it. Right? Now, this is talking about, Moses, right? But it's talking about the nation also. Numbers chapter 6 or Bar Midbar, excuse me, chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And it says, and he said, and this is the Most High speaking, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Again, there's another tree. Israel has to be faithful to the Most High. We can't go as the worst, a harlot king. Just in case I did offend someone. After other gods. All right? We have to stick with Yahweh. He says, my servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? See, so what he did in those three lines right there, he separated Okay. What he did was he made a distinction between Moshe the nation. Right? Now, think about this, y'all. Because in the New Testament, Yahushua says, the disciples asked Yahushua, why do you talk to us plainly? And with the other people, with the crowds, or with Israel, because that's who he was talking to. You speak to them in these parables. is given to you to have the keys. Right? That's where he got it from. He's not doing nothing. Those on the, now he, again, he made a distinction between those two. But with Israel, the Most High is going to talk to you. He's going to show us different dreams within his people. His people are going to have dreams. His people are going to have visions. Right? But then there's an Israelite outside of that that stands, and Moses said, and he's going to talk to him plainly. In the case of Messiah's time, plenty of them. You know, it multiplied. It went from one to many. Because he talked to 12 disciples plainly. But again, one of the things, another trait, is we being faithful. See, a lot of these Israelites, they go out here and they acquire this quote-unquote knowledge, and they go to these scholars, and these scholars aren't faithful to Yahweh. These scholars are actually going against Yahweh. And they buck up against the word of the Most High. And they take these words, they take the words of Egypt, they take the words of this, and then they go about things to confuse the people. Because they stuck in scholarship. When all you got to do is believe the word. That's all you got to do. Believe the word. Devarim chapter 8, verse 16. Devarim or Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. And this reads, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna? And this is the second part of the clause. Or this is a continuation of what was said before, right? He's talking about some of the things that Abba did, right? But listen what he says. He says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. So, for humble, the word humble, number 6031 in the Hebrew section, and that word is anat, right? And it means to be occupied or be busy with, right? When you look at what they did in the wilderness, right? He said, he took you to the wilderness, and fed you with manna. What did they have to do with the manna? They had to pay attention where it was coming down, right? Day one, regular portion. Two, regular portion. Three, regular portion. Four, regular portion. Five, regular portion. Six, you get a double portion. So he was occupying them, and he was keeping them busy, and he was teaching them that he was about their father's business, because after six, you know, you get that double portion. Day seven, you wasn't getting nothing. Wasn't nothing coming. And you were only supposed to get a certain amount per day, because if it held over, it stunk in bread maggots. Right? Except for that day six. Day six, you're supposed to get a double portion. Right? So you had to be about your father's business because he was teaching you this. You wanted to eat, didn't you? It sure sounded like you wanted to eat because you was crying out to heavens, crying out to the heavens about how much, how hungry you are and how you missed the leeks and this, that, and another, and you missed all these vegetables that Egypt had. Leeks and carrots and this, that, and another. You miss all that. You know you got to be hungry when you missing a carrot. So Abba said, I'm going to drop this manna on you. Right? And while I'm dropping this manna on you, I'm going to teach you about my Shabbat. Pay attention. And that's one thing that's enough that Israelite, you have to be about Abba's work. They're busied with what Abba wants them to do. We are Yahweh's working force. We are his workers. Even Yahushua said, look, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. We got plenty of work for you to do, but we ain't got that many workers. That's the problem. We're short on the labor force. Why? The labor force don't want to hold on. Things get hard, they quit. They don't want to be faithful. As soon as they hear something, I don't like that. I think I'm going to go somewhere down here, somewhere that's a little more comfortable for me. So again, Israel is about Abba's work. He's about his business. Another test, another trick. Second Chronicles 7:14. Second Chronicles 7:14. And we all know this one. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, to humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So this word for humble in the Hebrew section number 3665, this word is kanah, and it means properly to bend the knee, to humiliate, to vanquish. Now, the word barak, where we get the word bless from, that word means to bend the knee also. See, but this word kana is talking about bending the knee because you have a burden on your back. That's the connotation of it. You having a burden on your back. So, you know, you put a burden on your back and it's heavy. You know, it's you walking with that burden and your knees bend is because you're trying to be, because the weight of it is hard to move, right? So that's why it says it like that. Right, to be humbled like that, because you're holding on to your burden. That's the way he says, you humble yourself. You get down on that knee, right? Pray, because it is a progression when you read what it is. My people, which are called by my name, first humble themselves, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. It's no different than John wrote when he says, submit yourself, like we did earlier, like we talked earlier, submit yourself, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Submit. Abba, I can't do this. I need your help. That's another thing. See, Israel knows time, family. It's almost 11. That's the time we normally be starting. Israel understands who their help is and where it comes from. My help comes from Yahweh. My help comes from who created the heavens and the earth. But we understand we have to humble ourselves, get down on that knee. Abba, we need help. We need help. So we say, submit, and then you pray. You have to admit you need that help, and then you crawl out to the Most High. My face. Abba, in this situation, what do I have to do? What is it? What is it that I'm supposed to do? Which way am I supposed to go? Seek his face, turn to him. Walk his direction. In case y'all don't remember what it means to be deceived, it means to be led astray, led away from safety. If your help and your safety is with the Most High, we're supposed to be seeking that face. But we say, as I said, you turn from your wicked ways. If you want the healing, you have to do that. You want the help, you have to do that. You want to be known as Yisrael? Everybody claiming it down here. We want to be known of Abba Yisrael. Do Abba call you Yisrael? It says, then I will forgive their sins and will heal their ways. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Right? And it keeps on saying all this good stuff that happens when we turn from our wicked ways. Yisrael knows how to get their father's attention. Why? He told them. We know who to cry out to. But over the years, our ancestors have cried out to everybody. They didn't cry out to Baal Peor. They didn't cry out to Kamesh. They didn't took their kids, burnt up their kids. They didn't cut themselves. Worship under the groves. Worship, you know, the asterisks. Worship the stones. Worship everything. The sun and the moon. Abba caught him doing everything. But his people call out to him. Yisrael calls out to him. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And this reads, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly, be just, be right. Don't do wrong. And to love mercy, another trick. See, all these, he's naming these things. In the building of Israel, this is what we're supposed to be bringing together and collect. See, think of each trait as a part of the body. The same way that he talks about how Israel comes together and we are the body, and how each, with each member in particular. Well, it's the same way for those traits. And it's the same way for those fruits of the Spirit. They come together and they form that body. And each one just adds on to the next. And none can say, look, we don't need you. Temperance or self-control, we don't need you. You're not part of the body. Joy, we don't need you. We don't need no joy over here. You're not part of the body. And the crazy thing is, joy being the fruit of the Spirit, you never know it in some of these Israelites. They so militant. They got the mean mug. That's all you hear. Never a smile. Just never happy. Really? He says, he has showed the old man what is good and what does Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your mighty one. Those lessons. You know, take those lessons as we are walking with our mighty one. Like, son, did you know that? Did you understand that? It's okay. It's like, but I didn't get that one. I don't know. Can we learn again? Can you teach, show me that again? Because I didn't understand. That's what humility you'll say. Like the word say, it's not love don't boast, love don't brag, love don't do all these other different things. It's all this stuff that love don't do. Patient is kind. This is how Israel is supposed, these are the things we're supposed to be developing, but it's so few far in between. People don't have a reference point. Next one, y'all. The book of John, verse 1. I'm sorry. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 47. John, or you conning, chapter 1. Verse 47. Excuse me. And it reads, Yahushua saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, talk about Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, the word guile in the Greek. Number 1388. And that word is dolos. And it means, it says, from delo, meaning to decoy. A trick, a bait, that is wild. In other words, this Israelite ain't a liar. He's not deceitful. He's not sitting up here trying to trick you. His yea mean yea, his nay mean nay. And he calls them an Israelite indeed. This is definitely a trait that, you know, Yahushua was talking about this, about Nathaniel. This is definitely something I'm looking for in Israel. No, it's a little, see, you got all these folks, and then when questions come up, they try to explain away things. Well, why does the word say Ruth is a Moabite? Well, he was in the plains of Moab. Wasn't here, wasn't there. They was over here and this, that, and the, and all this stuff. Look, just say you were wrong. Real simple. Real simple. Don't let deceit and craft and this pride creep up where it's just, I can't say I was wrong because I have a standing here. And no, say you were wrong. No guile is supposed to be found within your mouth. You are an Israelite indeed. It's not many times that Israel are stuck. When we look through the word, it was more of the Gentiles astonishing Yahushua than it was Israel. But when he got to Nathaniel, an Israelite indeed, I like this dude, and he had no issues with Nathaniel. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. The book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, what advantage then hath the Yahudi or the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the words or the oracles of Elohim. Israel holds that. This is our word. It was given to us, not nobody else. Nobody has a claim to this word. I don't care who they say they from. I don't care who they say they represent. Nobody outside of Israel has a claim to this word. Now, when you become attached to Israel, it's your word too. But what about the Gentiles? Okay. The Gentiles gets attached to Israel, it's their word too. But now they're Israel. You're not the Gentiles. Israel don't become the Gentiles. The Gentiles get grafted into Israel. It's not that reverse stuff. But you got to become a Christian. No. You better become an Israelite. That's what you better do. Because that word was entrusted to Israel, no one else. So how do Satan get to people now? He gave Israel all these different quote-unquote understandings of the word. And he gave these possibilities with the word. And all these different spinoffs to confuse that. So how do you combat that? Well, we read it. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek out the face. Stop doing evil. And Abba will take you. He will grab you. He will snatch you up. You will touch him. You will get his heart. And any time that Nebuchadnezzar, an enslaver of Israel, Yahweh called him his servant. Ahab, the one of the worst kings Israel ever had, Yahweh called him his servant. When they turned their hearts to him, you want to meet the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Call out to him. Call out to him. He don't have a problem making himself known. He want to make his name in this world great anyway. Romans 9:4. Romans 9:4. And this reads, and again, this is the middle of Israelites. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of Elohim and the promises, all of those stuff, everything within this word pertains to Israel. If you are Israelite, all these things pertain to you. And I'm not talking about someone who calls himself an Israelite. I'm talking about those who fulfilled the criteria, who are standing up as Israelite. We're learning. We a soul went forth to sow. He sowed some seed. Some good wheat came up. While he was sleeping, the enemy sowed some tares within. And they came up to. The worker said, "Master, I thought you sowed good sow. I thought you sowed good seed." "I did, but the enemy came and did this." "Master, should we destroy? Should we just go pluck up the tear?" No. Because if you do that, you might mess up the wheat. Might mess up my good wheat. So what you do, you let them grow together. And in the end, I'm going to make this separation of the two. See, because I know my good wheat, and I know what the tear is. I see the difference. I know the difference. So you just let them grow together. See, people are going to see, the Most High is going to see that difference, and if the Most High can see that difference, so is man. How are they going to know who to follow? How are they going to know we that great and wise nation if we're looking like everybody else? Because I tell you, it's not that much wisdom in this world. Everybody is just a follower of everybody else. Everything is trending. No one is saying stop the foolishness. I was watching one of my favorite people. He a blogger. He actually is a battle rap league owner. His name ARP. He owns RBE, Battle Rap League. But one of the things that he was talking about is how everybody follows everybody else. And he was talking about the whole thing about this whole pause stuff. Everybody keeps on saying pause. Now, the whole internet is pausing. Because really, and I found out the thing, Dame Dash actually started that. He started it up, and it just caught on fire and this, that, and that, quote, like wildfire. Now, every time you say something, quote, unquote, homophobic, it's pause. Pause this. And now you got Cameron and Mace doing a show. And it's a nice show. It's fun. I watched it a couple times. Watched a couple episodes of it. But every couple minutes, they're going to pause. Pause, because they're saying stuff. But one of the things ARP says that, man, y'all need to stop following these people. Because everybody's pausing. And, you know, and they pausing because they're saying something like you're talking about a hot dog, and they equate it with a male's genitalia. It's like, well, yeah, I'm not all pickle. It's like, well, yeah, I'm going to eat the pickle, pause. Like the pickle is a male's genitalia. Right? But he said, man, y'all folks out here following that stuff, y'all don't make no sense. Y'all can't think for yourselves. He said, why is it that y'all minds are on the men's genitalia that much? That every time that you think about something, it got to be a man's genitalia, and you got to go pause? Y'all need to stop following people. That was the point that he was making. Y'all need to stop following this foolishness. Because that's what everybody does. They follow the foolishness. And they call it trendy. They call it hip. They call it this, that, and that. Yeah, well, you're not into this. No. But that's all you see in this world. You don't see no wisdom in this world. And it's there, but they won't show it. They got to keep your mind bogged down with this foolishness. I watched this woman in Africa where she recycles tires. Right, because they've, you know, this whole tire thing, you can recycle some of them and make new tires, you know, and obviously recycling. But then she takes them and makes pavers out of them and sells them. It makes money. And, you know, she says she'll be profitable soon. But what she's, that her passion and is to renew stuff. So she's like, well, you know, you got all this stuff because you got some tires. They take and they burn tires and use it for energy. You know, they burn these tires up and use it as fuel. It was real nice, interesting thing, because they talk about how many tires, 10 billion tires get thrown out every year. 10 billion. Got landfills and stuff of tires. You know, but they're not going to show and show anything like that on TV, because that shows people actually putting their brains to use. They're going to overload you with the stupid stuff so you can go pause. Or you can do the latest TikTok trend, the latest dance. It's just, there's nothing. I mean, have fun. I get it. I don't have a problem with people having fun or anything like that. I don't want to sound like that in a way. But, every trend You taking cinnamon, a cup of cinnamon, a teaspoon of cinnamon, and you didn't see it choke a billion people on this daggone TV, and you think you're going to beat it? People have died from that. That cinnamon get wet and get stuck. It's like mud inside of you. You can't breathe. And yet you still have people doing that challenge. Just following idiocy. Sorry, y'all. But anyway, it says, again, all these things, this word pertains to us. It pertains to us. Like, given of the law, the service of the Most High, the promise, covenants, glory, all that, Yisrael. And if you want a piece of it, become a commonwealth, become part of the commonwealth of Yisrael. All right? 1 John 3:2. Again, 1 John 3:2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, the sons of Yah, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall know that when we, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So we are the sons of, he said, he gave that ability to us. Yahushua said he gave that ability to, I'm going to find that. Let me find that. That's in the New Testament somewhere. Oops. Thank you, listener. Oh, man. I have to find it another time, y'all. But it talks about how as many as believed on him, he gave them the right to be the sons of Elohim, the sons of the Most High, right? But us believing on the Most High, but then it says back in John, we believe, he says, we, beloved, now we are the sons of Yah. And it doth not yet seem so, right? He says, it don't seem that way. It appears, we don't appear like that. Nobody can see us like that. But we are that. But it's going to come a time when they're going to see us like that. Why? That is a blessing of Yisrael. That is a blessing of Yisrael. Right? So, next verse, y'all. It says, Devarim chapter 12, verse 2. Devarim or Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2. Hold up, this ain't it. John 1:12, Aki. Let's look at that. Excuse me, family. Told our brother Matat, in the book of John chapter 1, verse 12, or you call it 1, 12. I'm just reading this for you. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yah, even to them that believe on his name. So da aki. And again, that is a blessing of the Most High. That is a blessing of Israel. It's a blessing of the Most High too. It's a blessing that belongs to Israel. That pertains to Israel. You know? This is something that when we take on that name, it's so much that encompasses that. You know, it's so much that encompasses that. I don't know where I was supposed to, because that's the wrong verse. I know that. I know that. All right, so we're going to go to the next verse. Okay, Revelation chapter 4. We're about to close up, y'all. The last few verses. Revelation chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Oh, excuse me. Revelation 14, verses 4 and 5. Revelations, or Kazan 14, 4 and 5. And this reads, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and unto the Lamb. Now, it's talking specifically, y'all, about 144,000, right? Because, you know, it's, if you go up one, right? If you're talking about that, right? Right. Right, 144,000. It's talking specifically about that. But Yisrael falls in that too, because the same way that they are going to be redeemed, the same way that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes, the same way that they are untouched by women, Yisrael is the same way. They're the same way. It pertains to us too also. See, and of those things, you know, in verse 5, it says, in their mouth was found no guile. He, again, he hates a lie. Abba hates lying. He wants us to not fake the funk, not be the hypocrite, not be the actor, not be whatever it is you want to describe it. He goes through such expanses in everything. Thou shalt not, it's literally, thou shalt not bear false accusations against thy neighbor. He can't stand it. False witness, excuse me, my mistake. But don't bear false accusations against him either. Don't lie. He don't like the craftiness. He don't like the double talk. In their mouth was found no guile, but they are without fault before the throne of God. See, that's who Israel is. He don't hold our faults against us. I forgive you, son. I see you messed up, but I forgive you. You trying? You're getting better? Because over the time, we're supposed to be getting better. Why? Because we're supposed to be turning more and more to him and further and further away from our wicked ways. He knows where our heart. I, Yahweh, don't judge like men judge. I try the heart. I go deep inside you, and I go into the midst of you. You can't hide in there. I know what you're thinking from afar off. I know what you're doing. I know these things. You can't fool me. He says, these are those which follow the Lamb. Wherever he go, Israel, follow that Lamb. Even when the times got tough, think about it, y'all. Times was tough for our ancestor Jacob. But he never let go. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. He made that, you know, and yes, and in some cases they're right. In some cases they're right. The word Elohim can refer to angels. He made that angel submit and bless him. I'm not going to let go. Until you bless me. Whenever times get rough, remember that, y'all. I'm not letting go, Abba, until you bless me. That has to be our mantra. Put that in the forefront of your mind. When times get rough, Abba, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Because if Yah is for us, who can be against us? It's better that Yah is for us than the whole world be against us. Last verse, y'all. Isaiah 44, verse 23. Isaiah or Yeshaya 23. And it reads, sing, O ye heavens, for Yahweh has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. That's where we're the ultimate. We are redeemed. We are. And Abba Yah and Yahushua HaMashiach are glorified in us, in Yisrael. So when we hold on, we grab onto that name, and we take that name, we take on that name, y'all. Remember, it seems like a heavy burden, because Hasatan wants us to look at it. It's only heavy to the flesh. Yahushua said, my yoke is light. It's light. Why, he's right there with us, helping us to carry. So family, I hope everybody got something out of this. Whatever it is, Abba needed each and every one of us individually to hear. individually to learn. I pray that he keep on edifying us, and I pray that he keeps on doing what he do, you know, just loving us and showing us his word. All right? So we got the closing benediction, and then I'm going to close on out and keep on enjoying the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you once again for the Shabbat day, Abba. Thank you, Abba, for your presence last night and our brother, Yariel. We ask, Abba, that your presence and your word be in the next Moreh. I believe it's Shabbat. If I'm wrong, forgive me. The next Moreh, you put your spirit within them. You put your word within them. And you edify us through him, Abba. Make your face known to us. Make your ways known to us, Abba. Abba, we just thank you and praise you for protecting us and leading and guiding us throughout the week. We praise you and give you thanks for our brothers and our sisters who are coming back from Missouri and keeping them safe, Abba. Allowing them to experience Sukkot down there while we experienced it up here. Abba, just ask that you reveal your word and just continue to be with us. And when we go to the left and to the right, you chastise us, Abba. Bring us back to your path. And your loving kindness, you continue to unify us, you continue to provide for us, just continue to be you, Abba. No words can express the gratitude and the love that we have for you, Abba. Just ask that you never leave us. Nor forsake us like your words say. That you strengthen us when we need strengthening, Abba, to overcome. Just give us your wisdom and your understanding. In Yahushua's name, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, fam. Shabbat shalom. Faith.
Just show me what to do.